You're tuned in to the Health After 30 podcast. And if you've ever had a feeling like your mental health and your gut health is intrinsically related, well, you're right. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about how we can improve both to improve your overall quality of life. Hey, I'm Alana Bonneman, naturopath and holistic nutritionist. This podcast is dedicated to reclaiming your health by harnessing yourself as your biggest asset. Get ready, because this is where we stand up for your body's ability to heal, go against outdated norms, and say yes to change, creating true and lasting success, all from the inside out. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Health After 30 podcast, and let's get started. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Health After 30 podcast. Alana Bonneman here with you. And today I have the pleasure of having Dr. Bashmir Williams on the podcast. Dr. Williams is a board certified family and functional medicine doctor, and she's got over 25 years of experience, and she focuses on gut health. Now, the way in which she focuses on gut health is to not only alleviate gut health and not also only to improve mental health, but she sees fixing your gut health as a way to improve every other aspect in your life. And perhaps you might have other symptoms which you don't even know are related to your gut, but by improving your gut health, alleviate these symptoms. And she brings in teachings and case studies and also visual aid into this episode, which makes it a really empowering episode to look at and to listen to. So I hope you're able to take something away from it. If you enjoyed today's episode or any other episode, please feel free to leave a review or a rating, as this does make our podcast more discoverable. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Alana Bonneman, and let's get into today's episode. Hi, and welcome to the Health After 35 podcast. Bashmir, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This has been, just our little chat before we got started. It's been such a fun morning. Six o'clock in the morning here in the States, so...
Oh, it's already so early. I didn't realize. I didn't check in. I'm in Germany and it's midday. So yeah. We're really
no, I still have time. I'm still drinking my one cup of coffee today.
Excellent. Well, it's a nice start. It's a wonderful start. Mm-hmm. We did chat before, and we've got a whiteboard behind you, or, you know, we've talked about the potential things that we could talk about. It was really nice, actually. Mm-hmm. And together we've discussed, in the wake of Mental Health Week, which is currently just taking place, that we want to talk about gut health and how our gut is affected by our mental state, and perhaps also how our gut affects our mental state. So do you firstly just want to give a bit of a background to, you know, why you're into gut health and what got you here?
Too. So I had a patient when I was about 15 years ago, I had a patient walk in, and it had just been on the cusp of me having read my first sort of a natural medicine book. And this natural medicine book took a story of a chiropractor who was down to 89 pounds and was so sick with a colitis case, and medicine was failing him, and the natural route actually saved him. And so I had just read this, and so in walks this 22-year-old Sarah, who had been my patient for years. As a family medicine doctor, I've seen patients for years. She had just graduated college, planned a wedding, got married, bought a house, started a new stressful job, and all of a sudden she started having joint pains. And so she came in, pretty typical presentation for rheumatoid arthritis. We proved this with some laboratory blood work, and I referred her to a rheumatologist, where she was officially diagnosed and was put on many medications that were not working. So she came back to my office and said, what else can I do? Like, what else can I do for her? And so, you know, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, why not try this natural medicine stuff? See if it works.
Yeah. Give it a go. Mm-hmm.
Give it a go. I mean, what's it going to hurt? And so the first thing I did was I ordered some additional labs that were outside of the scope of what you would traditionally get for a patient who came in with joint pain. And one of the things we discovered in her case was that she had celiac disease. So the food she was eating was causing a lot of inflammation in her body. Now, fast forward, I totally understand that now. But back then, I was like, how in the world can food hurt you like this? So we just did what we knew to do from just that one book that I read. And she was 100% game for that. You have to have the right patient that's willing to do anything. And so, and she got better. We were able to significantly reduce her rheumatoid arthritis medications, but most importantly, she got better and she was feeling good again. And so that really kind of made a huge impact in my life. And so I enrolled in the Institute of Functional Medicine shortly thereafter. 3 years later, I became certified, and really, I haven't looked back since.
Nice. So profound. I love it when you have those experiences, those encounters where you make such a significant life change for someone. It's like, wow, I can do this to so many more people. It's empowering.
It empowered me, but it also empowered my patients to know that they can take control of their own life. Like so many things we do either hurt us or help us. And so we can really have a profound impact on our own lives ourselves. So that was really, really kind of an important take-home message. And you're right, there are certain patients in my lifetime that were very hard and difficult at the time, but made an impact on even how I practice medicine. And you're 100% right. When you see the light of, oh wow, this is what I can do, all of a sudden all these other patients start coming to me. I could help this person, I could help this person. So you have there's an urgency to hurry up and learn all of this stuff back then. So that was really amazing experience in retrospect.
And also to connect when someone comes in with rheumatoid arthritis, and I guess the connection for you was like, okay, autoimmune, let's test gluten, celiac. And so that comes into it. And so then you're kind of dealing with gut health, and that becomes perhaps central to how you start to treat. And everyone has a gut, and everyone's eating. So I guess I do want to go into mental health, but before we go there, what are some of the, because other people might be thinking this as well, what are some of the other symptoms that people have? Because you don't associate joint pains with gut health, really. What are some of the other symptoms, typical symptoms that people might have and can be alleviated by correcting gut health?
So many people associate, leaky gut and gut problems with gut problems, diarrhea, constipation, bloating after eating, pain with eating, heartburn, indigestion, things like that. But there are many what we call extra gut manifestations, extra meaning outside of the gut. So you can work down from your head all the way down to your toes, and you would find something in every single one of those organs that is affected by the gut, including things like brain fog, migraines, sinus congestion, cough, things like eczema, acne. So neuropathies, restless leg syndrome, so many things, and obviously the joint pains. So yes, I'll give you a typical example of women who come in with severe period pain and really heavy flow, or even some of my PCOS patients. We ignore the female complaints until we heal the gut, because a lot of times when we heal the gut, even if they have no gut complaints, we look at gut microbiome, we do stool studies, we do all these amazing, fantastic labs. We heal the gut and then we push restart what's left over of their original complaints. And many times their periods are better, they've lost weight, their stress is down, and they have no idea the correlation with the stress and the gut. And they don't, because it's invisible. You don't associate gut health with mental health.
So what is the connection there? Because mental health is it's a very big topic, whether it's mental health, anxiety, coping with stress. We're trying to do all these things, and very, very often we're not even thinking about the gut. So where do we make that connection, or how can we make that connection, I guess? And then what can we do about it? But firstly, how do we make that connection?
So going back to one of my patients who I couldn't unlock We'll call her Heather. She's still a patient now, so we're still working through this. But this is how powerful the gut is with mental health. And this particular Heather is a very stressed out person who is has a very high demanding job and a job she doesn't like. That's the problem, is when you're stuck. And, you know, a large part of your day, she's very successful.
Be them.
But she hates what she's doing. And she feels stuck. I mean, you go to school for 8 years and you're stuck in this job that you hate. And, you know, so anyway, the majority of her day is stressed out. And it's also a very stressful job. And so for her to finally understand the connection between the gut and the brain was very profound. And that is when we finally started sort of breaking the wall of getting some relief for her. She actually ended up making a career change, and she's back in school to do what she's really passionate about. Now, that's a really big deal, because you know, you don't just go to school for 8 years and then just give it up, right? So that was a really big deal for her. But she's now, and she's still younger, so this is really good, perfect timing for her. So she can, you know, start doing this new job, and she's finally getting some relief from these gut issues that she's had for years. I mean, since she was a teenager. So I would, if you don't mind, I would like to sort of just draw a diagram of a couple key concepts that we really need to understand before we jump into how the mind affects the gut. So I just want to sort of draw a little anatomy, if you don't mind. Let me do this. This is your central nervous system. This is your, let's just call, this is your brain. Okay. You, in your brain, you have something called the HPA axis, which is part of your, what we call your limbic system. Your limbic system is the part of your brain, a collection area of a part of your brain that responds to stress. And it also responds to inflammation. So having inflammation in your body is actually really important to decrease. So what type of foods you eat, leaky gut, all those things really contribute to your limbic system. HPA axis is what ultimately the hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenal glands is ultimately what produces a hormone called cortisol.
Stress hormone.
This hormone is really important, okay? This is your stress hormone, okay? So this is what's coming from the central nervous system. Now, you also have something called the enteric nervous system. The enteric nervous system is part of the gut's nervous system. In fact, it is so big that we call the enteric nervous system your second brain. Because there are so many neurons lining the entire intestinal gut. And then over here, we have your little microbiome. And this is where a lot of medicine right now is being researched. What we're finding is the microbiome, the little gut bacteria you have in your gut, are actually communicating to the brain and to the and the second brain. There's a bi-directional communication between all of these things. In addition to the central nervous system, you also have something called the autonomic nervous system. Now, this is where you have your parasympathetic and your sympathetic fibers. Now, have you ever had butterflies in your stomach?
And that gut feeling.
Or when you're anxious and you feel like you have to go to the bathroom like 3 or 4 times. That's all of this happening all at one time on multiple levels. And what's happening is there's something called a bi-directional communication between all three of these centers. So the central nervous system talks to the microbiome affects the central nervous system, and vice versa here as well. And then the central nervous system directly impacts the, through part of the autonomic nervous system, the enteric nervous system, and back and forth. So there's all this communication going on. So when you have like a major stressor, you know, like something happens in your life, like for example, you have a finals week during in college, right? And you have all these gut issues. In fact, a lot of college kids, that's just a side note, you know, they're the ones getting sick after finals week. And this is part of the reason. Gut health is really important. So this big, huge stressor or inflammation from, say, a poor diet, severe leaky gut, a major infection, whatever it is, this triggers off. This is just an example of how all of this happens, okay? This is not the only thing that can happen. We're just using stress today because that's a big trigger. It's also invisible. And a lot of my type A personality patients are like, I can handle this. I've been doing this my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at type A personality people and you look at their life between ages 0 and 10, a lot of them, you go back, even if you're 30, you go back and you find that personality development between ages 0 and 10. What happened? Why were expectations put on you so high? A lot of times you even put expectations on yourself because sometimes you want the approval of loved ones and, you know, or you're the middle kid who's getting ignored. So you're trying to do something bigger and better. And that carries throughout your whole life. And it's like, well, I've been on the go my whole life. Why is it affecting me now? It catches up to people, right?
Yeah. And then how they deal with stress. And then that's interesting.
Right.
Because how so their stress is coming in and it's affecting their central nervous system.
We're just using this sort of as a example. So stress is coming in. Now we've got fight or flight, you know, your sympathetic overdrive. When you have sympathetic overdrive, you have, you know, increase in heart rate. Your palms might get sweaty. You might even get flushing in your head. But you know what doesn't work is your gut. It's like you're either in fight or flight or rest and digest. And rest and digest is your parasympathetic nervous system. That's one of the reasons we tell people, you know, meditate or take some deep breaths before you eat to sit down to eat. Yeah, and sit down at a nice table and breathe, because breathing lowers that sympathetic tone and increases parasympathetic, and your body will accept the food differently. It won't just sit in your stomach. So
in a stressful state. Not absorbing.
I used to hate eating when I was stressed out. You know, I played basketball. I remember the butterflies. I would not eat. But I didn't know why. But food didn't feel good to me, so I didn't eat. But now I know why. Now I get it.
It's just a part of this little network that's happening.
That's right. Okay. So you understand that there's immense amount of communication between the central nervous system, the enteric nervous system, and the microbiome. Now, let's go ahead and just draw out the intestinal cells that are affected by this nervous system, this whole complex, okay? So the first thing we're going to draw is sort of what the enteric nervous system sort of looks like in the gut. So nerves sort of have this axon type of picture. I'm not going to go into all the details, but there's horizontal and there's vertical neurons and all sorts of fun complex things. But just know that you have your nervous system here. Now, why is this important? Because this combined with the muscle layer, muscles. So then you have smooth muscle contractions in your, you know, that's how food moves is you have to have some kind of peristaltic movement. So you have smooth muscles that line your intestines. Now, when you're feeling pain, this is where you're going to feel, this is the enteric nervous system sending pain signals directly to the central directly to your brain, letting you know that there's pain here. This pain sensitivity can actually go up and down depending on how leaky your gut is and how much inflammation you have and things like that. Okay.
So this is from a gut point of view. For example, you've eaten something that your body's not agreeing with in your gut, it's causing some sort of reaction to have a pain reaction, and then that's transmitting up to the brain.
Yeah. We even have the vagus nerve actually also can sense what's inside of the lumen or inside of the small intestine. So it actually has direct interaction with the microbiome. I mean, it's intense how closely the take-home message, if you can understand one thing from all of this, is that stress definitely, it's not fake. It's not just in your head. Stress definitely affects your gut. And why is that such a big deal? Because your gut affects, like we discussed earlier with that question you asked, because your gut affects everything else. And so sometimes that joint pain could be because of all the stress you're under. And you really have to take inventory of your life and try to see what, you know, what's causing it. Okay, now I'm going to draw, kind of going forward here with the next system, which I want to make green because this is really important. So this is your muscles, your nervous system, your muscles. The other big thing with your nervous system and your muscles, in addition to pain, one of the huge things that it also does is it also causes motility issues. So for some people with stress, it causes like diarrhea, but for a
lot of motility, too fast or too slow.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, this actually causes issues with, constipation. And man, that is really hard from my perspective. That is really hard to treat, because people just feel miserable. Okay. And then you also have a layer of what we're going to call the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what just this whole constellation of area is your number one defense mechanism. It's part of your gut associated lymphoid tissue. So when things go from the outside world, so say you ate something, it goes from the outside world to the inside world. This is your first line of defense if it's something that shouldn't be there. Like if it's part of a bacteria, you know, like the lipopolysaccharide of a gram-negative bacterial cell that is very pro-inflammatory in our body. This is the first line of defense. If it's undigested food going through, you know, a little piece of egg that didn't get turned into little tiny amino acids before it went through because of leaky gut, this is your first line of defense. Now, if this is overactivated, what is this going to do? This is going to
inflammatory.
This is going to feed this a lot. And then it feeds through this whole cycle. Okay. So, and then let's look at what we call your endothelial cells. Okay. Endothelial cells are very much very, very important. Your gut lining, what literally separates the outside world from this inside world is one cell layer thick.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's nothing.
That is nothing. Really. And that is why that's where the term leaky gut comes from, which I'll get to in a second. I just want to make sure we have everything all drawn out. And then protecting that one layer of protection here is a mucus layer. Okay. Mm. So we have this nice mucus layer. And then
which is like what you might find in the inside of your mouth, right? Yes. When I think of a mucus layer, I think like what's on the inside of my mouth.
Actual mucus. You know, sometimes we overproduce mucus when we're anxious and a lot of our stool might have extra mucus in it. That kind of mucus. Yeah. And then we have all these, we're going to have all this gut microbiome, right? All this bacteria, a lot of them friendly, most of them friendly, unless you're having issues. Now, all this, one other thing, because we're talking about mental health, I've also included some cells that don't have these little finger-like projections, and we're going to call these cells your endocrine cells in your gut, okay? They're actually enterochromaffin cells, and then we're also going to just label some with a P, because that's kind of important because of immune health. So enterochromaffin cells, that is where the majority of your hormone called serotonin is made, okay, and stored. Now, good healthy bacteria that make good healthy short chain fatty acids, for example, promote more serotonin production and secretion. So microbiome also makes a little, you know, happy hormones. So this is really, really important. Okay. So let's see how we have this stressful event, finals week. We have an increase in cortisol. What's cortisol doing to all of this? Well, one of the things it does is it starts to break down this initial, initial mucus layer. Okay. It also promotes leaky gut. So now we're having a breakage in these areas. Okay. And so now we have access of the outside world where the microbiome and all the foods you've digested or you've eaten, can actually interact with the inside world. So now we're having more things going through, more things affecting the immune system going back and talking to the brain, causing more of this fast forward cortisol, which is affecting all of this. In addition to all of that, we have the microbiomes communicating, potentially releasing some toxins and things like that, that also communicate to the outside world. In fact, they did a study where the vagus nerve, which is part of your autonomic nervous system, which has direct communication to the gut microbiome, where they actually did a vagotomy, or they severed the nerve of these mice, this nerve that communicates from stress from the brain to the gut microbiome. And in mice who, where the gut microbiome was then altered, the mice who had the vagotomy or the loss of the vagus nerve sensation did not respond to a healthier gut microbiome and reversal of their anxiety. So they actually stayed anxious versus the mice who still had their vagus nerve intact, who had an alteration of their gut microbiome, who had a relief of their anxiety symptoms.
Exciting.
So this is kind of a big deal, how all of this communicates together.
Yeah. It's showing that the gut affects the brain, and the brain is also, in fact, affecting the gut as well. And for so long, that's just been ignored, or perhaps not even ignored. We just haven't had the research and exactly what you've shown behind us or behind yourself to fully understand what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're like most people that tune into the Health After 30 podcast, you know that good health and quality of life go hand in hand. And rather than focusing on our lifespan, we want to start focusing on our health span. How can we get into old age and keep up with the things that we love? How do we promote longevity? Today's sponsor is Kimberly Rebecca. She's a naturopathic colleague who does exactly this. She uses peptide bioregulators with a longevity protocol to enhance energy, increase mental focus, and balance our hormones as we age. If this is something you want, if thriving in old age speaks to you, then please check out all the links below and see if Kimberly can help you today.
One example of how cortisol affects the gut, gut microbiome to some degree affects the set point. This is really important. To some degree affects the set point of stress resilience. There's research on that in terms of, how some people, it takes a lot of stress for them to feel, the heart rate increase. And then there's other people that, a loud noise and they're like, developing that stress resilience with daily practices of meditation, prayer, exercise, eating well, all these things that increase stress resilience are very important to all of this. So
improving
the
effect of the gut health.
Right. And resetting, resetting your stress set point so that your body's more resilient to stress.
Thanks so much for being here. You could have been listening to anything, but you're here interested in reclaiming your health. I hope you found the episode useful and constructive. If you enjoyed it and would like to show support for the show, please leave a review, as this makes my content more discoverable for other people to enjoy and learn from. Please also consider subscribing to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening.
Finally, the best way to show support for the show is by sharing it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Thanks for listening. Be well, and I'll catch you next time.